Okay, good evening, everyone. Parshas Vayera Tavshanayin Tes. I want to welcome everybody here tonight. I know you could have been at Fenway, watching be at the first game of the series. You chose to be here instead, so I thank you very much. Okay, we will start on page 80. Perkir Ches Pasek Yud Zayin, two lines from the bottom of the page. At this point in the parasha, Hashem had appeared to Avraham, and the meeting between Hashem and Avraham was interrupted by the guests, by the three angels disguised as people. And after they had told Avraham that he and Sarah would have a child a year from now, so now the discussion between Hashem and Avraham, Hashem returns back to the discussion with Avraham. But first we have Hashem, so to speak, talking out loud. V'Hashem Amar, Hashem said, Hamachasa ani me'Avraham, shall I cover up from Avraham asher ani oiseh, what I'm planning to do, referring to the destruction of Sodom. V'Avraham ha'yia l'gaygagol v'atzim, Avraham will be a great and mighty nation. V'nivrchu v'y kol goyei ha'aretz, and all the nations of the earth shall bless themselves through him. Ki yedativ, because, you know, this word yadativ, we would translate because I know him. But Rashi says in this context it means because I love him. How can I cover up my plans from Avraham, who's going to be a great nation? The nations of the world will bless themselves through him. And all this is going to be happening to him because I love him. That's why he's going to be this great nation. And why do I love him? Lama'ana sheyitzava esbana vesbeisei acharav. Because he commands his children and his household after him, v'shamru derech Hashem, that they guard the way of Hashem, lasei tzedakah u'mishpat, to do righteousness and judgment, l'ma'an avi Hashem al Avraham, in order to bring on Avraham, eish asher dibar alav, that which he spoke to him about. Which means that Avraham, as Rashi says, Avraham teaches his children after him to guard the way of Hashem, to watch the way of Hashem, to do righteousness and judgment, in order for Hashem to bring in Avraham that which he spoke to him about. Rashi says that means that what is it? How does Avraham charge his children to carry on following in his ways, to follow the way of Hashem? He says to them, Shimru derech Hashem, Rashi says, he says, guard the way of Hashem, kedei shevi Hashem al Avraham, so that Hashem will bring on Avraham that which he promised him. So that's the way he tells his kids. That's the way he tells his children. Guard the way of Hashem. Do tzedakah u'mishpat. Do right tzedakah u'mishpat. Do righteousness and judgment, so that Hashem will bring on Avraham, meaning on us, that which Hashem promised. Now that may sound a little bit odd. The Sisachman points out that it sounds like Avraham is telling his children, make sure you keep the mitzvahs, make sure you watch the way of Hashem, so that you'll get what Hashem promised me. That's it. That sounds like Avraham is telling his children to serve Hashem not out of love, but out of it for reward. So the Sitz Chaim says what it means is that Avraham is telling his children, watch, guard the way of Hashem, do tzedakah u'mishpat, so that Hashem brings on Avraham not the physical promises of Eretz Yisrael, but the spiritual promises. The spiritual promises of Eretz Yisrael is a land of kedusha, land of holiness. It's the land of where we fulfill the Torah best. So what it means is Avraham tells his children, guard the way of Hashem so that all the promises of a spiritual greatness that Hashem will give us will be given to us. If we don't follow the way of Hashem, we're not going to get it. But it's not about serving Hashem for the purpose of getting Eretz Yisrael as a physical land, but as much as guard the way of Hashem so that the spiritual destiny, the greatness of the Jewish people, the sanctity promise of the Jewish people will be granted to you. Okay, now, so what we have here is, according to what Rashi learns, an explanation as to why Hashem chooses Avraham. Why did Hashem promise Avraham all his greatness? Hashem says, because I love Avraham. Why do I love Avraham? Because he's going to teach his children afterwards. Because he charges his children and his household after him to guard the way of Hashem. That's what the pasuk reads. Hashem says, I love Abraham because of the fact that he will be passing down to his children and their children to their children to keep the way of Hashem. Abraham will be a great nation because I love him. I love him because I know that Abraham is going to pass on his following the way of Hashem to his children, and not just to his children, but it will continue on. Hashem knows in Abraham, Hashem sees in Abraham's greatness, that Abraham is going to not, see, this Abraham's service of Hashem is not just going to be his private service, and then after Abraham it's just going to go away, as we find by others who preceded him. But rather, from Abraham, it's going to go and continue and continue. That's part of Abraham's greatness. He has the ability to, again, not just worry about himself, but pass on the way of Hashem to his children and have it have a continuity.
Who were the others who preceded him?
Shem, Eber, Noach, Mr. Shelach, as the Rambam says. There were other people before him. But he's not relevant here right now. And as the Rambam points out, you know, or other commentaries point out, Shem and Eber had a yeshiva. Not like Noach didn't do anything either. But at the same time, somehow they were not able to continue. You know, it's an interesting discussion on its own. What exactly was the difference between them? But it's pretty clear those tzaddikim who did exist beforehand, they weren't, you know, besides the fact that they couldn't even help the people in their generation, it was only Abraham who succeeded in spreading the word of Hashem to others, they didn't even succeed with their families. Because, you know, after the flood, we're back to nobody, we're at a point of no one recognizing Hashem until Abraham comes onto the scene. So no one's being able to create a continuity here, maybe even for their own children. They're not able to create a continuity. Hashem says, in Abraham I see, there will be continuity. I love him because I see his greatness is a greatness that says he will pass it on to his children, and their children to their children, there'll be continuity, and that is the greatness of Abraham. That's what makes him unique. Okay? Now, I want to share with you what the Chafetz Chaim writes. I mean, he brings down this pasuk, and I'm just kind of going to be, and what I'm going to be reading to you from the Chafetz Chaim now is going to pretty much be what we said, but I just want to read it to you the way he says it. And it's fascinating that the Chafetz Chaim wrote this we would call it a pamphlet, probably, called Dovra Be'ito, which means a thing in its time. The Chafetz Chaim saw there was a problem, that there were young Jewish people who were leaving their homes. I don't know what they were going out for, because I don't think this means army. I know he had a whole book about how to deal with the army. But they were talking about people, younger people, I'm assuming, that were basically leaving home and living away from their Jewish community and living in the city, living amongst non-Jews. And they were not keeping kosher. And the Chafetz Chaim was writing a whole sefer about trying to make sure that people don't fall into this trap and continue eating kosher. That's my understanding. I didn't go through the whole thing to get the full detail, but that's what it appears.
But that was the time in history when Jews went out to cities and so on.
This is Lithuania.
Okay.
Yes,
yeah. Russia.
Lithuania, 1925-1930?
I don't know. Exactly. I don't know exactly. I mean, the Chafetz Chaim lived in Rad, which was kind of Polish-Lithuania.
The first half of the 20th century.
But again, you don't know when exactly he wrote this. It didn't have 1920, could have been earlier than that. But I don't know when he wrote it. But again, you had a shtetl. But then there were people that were going to the bigger city that were living amongst non-Jews. And there was, and he says that you had people that could afford to buy kosher food, and they still weren't. And in this chapter that I'm going to read to you from, he's actually addressing the parents. He's addressing the fathers. You got to make sure that your children are going to be doing the right thing. So he starts off saying, "V'yesh anashim shatayin min afshem loyim. Hashem yaliv eno v'ayliday kol kach avur banai." I don't have to be so worried. I don't have to be concerned about my children. Kaloy anoichi shemem mitzvah Hashem kadasu kalacha. I personally keep everything, and I've never eaten anything wrong in my life. Nothing. Nothing forbidden has ever passed through my lips. I have to be concerned with my son. Basically, he's doing it on his own. I'm not telling him to do it. He's doing it on his own. Apparently, he saw this attitude among certain people. It's probably more of a defeatist attitude, but it was an attitude. It was a kind of defeatist attitude where you kind of try to justify it and say, you know, look, he's a mature adult. You know, he should be able to take care of himself. You know, I have to sit on top of him to eat kosher. I mean, you know, I'm not telling him to do it. I keep kosher. I'm not telling him not to keep kosher. He's doing it on his own. I have to be on top of him like that. It sounds a little bit silly, but you know, apparently the Chafetz Chaim sensed that there were people with this attitude, and on that he decided to say that no, this is very wrong. This is the Yetzer Hara having a strong influence on you, because it's very clear we know that the foundation of the Jewish people is the fact that we make sure we pass down the Torah from one generation to the other generation. And then the Chafetz Chaim writes, "V'zehaya tchilas yisoid v'sheirish uma Yisraelis." This was the foundation and root of the Jewish nation. Shechibev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Esa Avais. The Rebbeinu Hashem loved our patriarchs. Ubacha Behemi Kol Ha'olam. He chose them over everyone else. Lohoitzim Ehem Ha'uma Nevcheres Skula Mikol Ha'amim. To bring out from them the chosen nation, the treasure of all nations. Mipnei Sheheim B'darkam HaYeshara Achzu B'mida Zu. Because they followed this practice. Wasn't enough the fact that they served God with wholeheartedly? But to plant the belief in Hashem and His providence and guarding His laws and commandments in the hearts of their children after them. And they commanded them for all generations that the service of God never be cut off from them ever. And this is why Hashem chose after them their children, Mikol Ha'amim, from all nations. He took them out from Egypt. He gave them his Torah. And he put his name alone on them. And he took them as an inheritance, as a portion forever. And this is what it says explicitly in the Torah. This pasuk, Hashem says, why do I love Avram? Because I know I love him because I know that he will command his children and his household after him to guard the way of Hashem. This is Hashem's special love for Avram, because Avram is going to pass it on to his children and their children to their children. This is the founding quality of the Jewish people. The founding quality of the Jewish people is the fact that Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov made sure to pass on to their children and to make sure their children understood that this has to be a continuous chain forever. This is what made Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov the special people that they were, and the reason why Hashem chose them over everyone else to bring out from them the chosen nation. Okay, so this is how the Chafetz Chaim. Again, the Chafetz Chaim, whenever he saw a problem, he addressed it and he went down to the most basic element. And he wasn't and he spoke about it and he wrote about it. Sometimes, you know, when you learn the writings of the Chafetz Chaim, it sounds like, you know, he's breaking everything down to the smallest element, to the most simple element. But that's what he did. He broke it down. And some of it sounds like, well, you know, it's a pasuk, you know. I mean, you know that's a pasuk. Read in the Chumash. But that's not the point. The point is that he was trying to bring it out and remind everyone of all these basic principles, and to understand that everyone has an obligation, responsibility to their children. It's not enough just to serve Hashem. You got to make sure that it continues on. That was the unique trait of Abraham for why he was loved by Hashem and chosen, and Yitzchak and Yaakov chosen, that from them will come the chosen nation. I want to share with you now something fascinating that I saw. I made a copy of this. I'm pretty sure it came from the newspaper Yated Neman, and they called the article. I think they called the article that the Valozhin Diary. You heard of the city of Valozhin? Mm-hmm. Valozhin was a city in Lithuania where the first yeshiva academy was established from Chaim Volozhiner. You know, he established the yeshiva like we have nowadays. There's an academy of learning, many people coming together, and it's not just one rabbi with students. It's basically a whole, many students coming together, a whole staff of rabbis there. This was the yeshiva of Elazhin, founded by Chaim Elazhiner.
It wasn't part of the mayor yeshiva.
No. Elazhin was before that, way before that. It was the first. It was the mother of all yeshivas. It was the first yeshiva that everyone else followed in their path. And so many of the eventual leaders of the Jewish people over the generations, all at one point, they all studied in Volozhin. Now, this is from a diary from a bacher, from a student who studied in Volozhin, and he wrote a diary. He wrote his experiences. And I'm going to tell you right away his name. This was written by a student called, his name was Nussin Milikovsky. Do you know who Nussin Milikovsky was? He was the grandfather of Benjamin Netanyahu. That's what it says here. A Talmud of Volozhin and grandfather of Israel's prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. That's what it says, grandfather. Okay? And he wrote this. So he was writing, again, about his experiences. But I want to share with you an example of what it means, a devotion of a father, of parents, so that their son should study Torah. What you see some parents, some people did to carry on the trade of Abraham to make sure that Torah continues to the next generation on the highest level. So he writes like this, I will never forget the Bachar from Klimovich, someplace. For a very long time, he would get up early every day and take out a small letter that he had received from his father in response to his own first letter home. He read this letter every day with great emotion and with tears in his eyes. The letter read, I guess he showed it to him. My son, do not leave Volozhin. Now, a little background. The Volozhin yeshiva was started by Chaim Volozhiner. It went down his family until the Netziv. The Netziv, at the time the Netziv was Rosh Yeshiva, Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik was there, and the Russians told the yeshiva, either you teach Russian or the yeshiva is closed. The decision was made not to teach Russian, and the yeshiva was closed. And the entire staff had to leave. Eventually, it reopened, but without a staff. It was like just a base medrash. And basically, you really had to fend for yourself. In those days in yeshivas, anyway, they didn't have a dining hall. They didn't have a dining hall necessarily, but there were certain things that were provided. It seems like during the time of Volozhin, after when Volozhin reopened without an administration, you really were on your own. So write like this: my son, do not leave Volozhin, even though the yeshiva provides no financial support, has no Rosh Yeshiva, no menial, no mashkichim. For in those days when Volozhin had been closed by the Russian authorities amidst great turmoil and then reopened privately, okay, none of that matters. Even the holy walls of the yeshiva, its tables and its pillars are saturated with profound reasoning and sublime thoughts. It is enough merely to learn in the sacred structure in order to become a gadol matamid chacham. Just a very unique idea about a place where Torah was so much Torah was studied, that is a Torah environment in itself. The walls the walls take in the learning, they take in the energy of the learning, and it's there and it passes on. Now, I will send you money, my precious son. We will sell the cow. Cow wasn't a little thing in those days. It's a big deal. That was a source of livelihood. We will sell the cow. We will send you, it's cut off here, I don't know how much it says, and we'll send you X amount of money right away. Next, I have decided, he did that, this is me, it's next. Then his father writes, I have decided that in another week, I will go to work digging a water channel for the parrots. It is going to be a long channel, so there will be work for a long time. He's going to go become a digger. All the Gentiles in the area are working there, so it won't be very easy for me, a Jew who is used to the base medrash and the store, to work with them. But for you, my son, who is sitting in Valojan, I will do anything, and I won't even consider it difficult. Here he was a person, he was a storekeeper. He had a nice, clean parnasa. And he had time to go learn. Now, no, he's schlepping out and going to be a digger for the pirates with all the shkatzim, with all the gayim, in order they can make enough money to support his son in yeshiva. Your mother is also looking for a buyer for her jewelry. We will sell the jewelry and send you the money with Hashem's help. Just learn, my son, learn. That's dedication. Now, he writes, each time he read the letter, the Barucha would summarize its contents to himself. After reading it, he would say, they're going to sell the cow. My revered father is going to dig in the ground and work at a menial job. My mother is going to sell her jewelry. Just learn, my son, learn. And he would put away the letter that was so precious to him and run to yeshiva and to his best friend, the shtender, the lectern that he learned with. Sometimes he would remain in the yeshiva from the morning until very late at night without interrupting his learning even once. So this is just an example, a beautiful example of a parent. We don't know who the parent was. We don't know who the child, who the son was. But this is just an example of what a Jew would go through to make sure that his son would learn Torah. What it means to continue fulfilling the way of Avraham Avinu. As Hashem says in the parasha, I love him because he passes on to his children to guard and to follow in the way of Hashem. Okay, let's now move on to page 94. Page 94, and we're going to be starting right before Perek Chaf Aleph begins, Pasuk Yud Ches. That's last Pasuk in Perek Chaf, page 94. Now this is talking about after Avram and Sarah find themselves in the land of Plishtim. Avram again has to say Sarah is his sister, and Avimelech takes her for a wife. During the night that he wanted to be with her, Hashem basically brings a plague upon Avimelech and his household, that basically basically any holes in their body, stuffed up, nothing's coming in, nothing's going out. And after Hashem appears to Avimelech, Avimelech gives Sarah back to Avram. Avram davens on behalf, after Pasuk Zion says, Vayispal Avraham Elohim, Avram davens to Hashem, and God healed Avimelech, his wife and his maidservants, and they gave birth. Because Hashem had held back and closed up every womb to the house of Avimelech, because of Sarah Eshes Avraham. Right, that's the end of that story. But we have to bear in mind, we have to keep in mind right now, that the story basically ends with Avraham davening that Avimelech and his whole household, that all the holes, so to speak, all the openings should become open again. And because of that, it says everyone was supposed to give birth, wasn't giving birth. Everything was closed up. Now everything opened up, everybody gave birth. The next thing the Pasuk says is, V'Hashem parkad Sarah kasher amar. And Hashem remembered Sarah as he had said, V'yas Hashem l'Sarah kasher diber, and he did for Sarah as he spoke, V'atar v'telet Sarah l'Avraham bein l'skunav. She conceived, and she gave birth to a son, to Avraham. So the Gemara Baba Kama says, the juxtaposition of these two things, that it says that Avraham davened to Hashem for Avimelech, and because of that, all the women were able to give birth. And right after that it says, Hashem remembered Sarah, and she became pregnant. The juxtaposition of the two things teaches us that if you daven for your friend, for something that you need it, and you daven for your friend who needs it, you get answered first. Avraham davened on behalf of Avimelech, because he davened on behalf of Avimelech that his wife should be able to give birth, and that was something that he needed, he was also answered because of that. When you daven...
But what do you say first? Because they...
First would mean that before the Malchus gave birth, Hashem remembered Sarah.
Right. Okay.
But okay. That part of the detail. But the point is that the Gemara says the fact that one follows the other says because Avram davened on behalf of Avimelech, the tefillah that he prayed for Avimelech worked for him too. And that's a rule that if a person, you know, has a personal need and they want to daven to Hashem for it, and now they go in and daven for their friend, they kind of get beyond themselves and daven for their friend sincerely that he should get it too. That becomes a merit. That becomes a mean. It means and a merit for you to be answered also. Okay. Now, the Arachayim on this pasuk. Hashem pakad Sarah kasher amar. Hashem remembered Sarah as he said. So the question is, why does it have to say, and Hashem remembered Sarah as he said? Hashem remembered Sarah, and she became pregnant. What's the as he said? So interesting, the Arachayim explains, has two explanations here, and they're kind of both like opposites of each other. The first thing he says is like this. Do you know why it says that Hashem remembered Sarah kasher amar as he said? Because we just said, the Gemara Baba Kama says, that we learned from here, that if you daven for, that because Avram daven for Avimelech, that his wife should be able to give birth, his wife gave birth. What happened to Hashem's promise? You need this for Sarah to become pregnant? You need Avraham to daven for someone else, for something that he needs, in order for her to become pregnant? Hashem already promised she's going to have a child. That promise happened before, beginning of the Parsha. So says the Arachayim that you know why the pasuk says and Hashem remembered Sarah as he said, to stress that she became pregnant because of Hashem's promise. There's nothing else that made a difference. Nothing else is gonna contribute if you have Hashem's promise. Hashem promised, that's enough. Nothing else contributes. It's not because Avraham prayed for Avimelech and he was answered for the same thing that he needed. No. Hashem remembered Sarah kasher amar. As he said, it was because of the promise. Obviously we have an obvious question now, but the Gemara says that we do learn that from here. So in the previous pasuk, where the Arachayim again kind of talks about, so is it Avram davened for Avimelech, or is it the promise? So he says it's the promise. But the Gemara sees there is a smichus. That means there's a juxtaposition. The two things are coming next to each other. There's got to be something in that. So therefore, says the Arachayim, well, if you can't apply it to Avraham himself, apply it to something similar to Avraham for someone else. Meaning, if you can't apply it here by Avraham, apply it somewhere else. Yeah, by Avraham, you can't say that. This smichus has become just juxtaposition. In that lies this idea. It seems, like, as we see, right, from the Psukim, you read the Psukim, Avraham davens for Avimelech, Avraham is remembered. That implies that when you daven for someone, for something that you need, you'll be answered. Now, we know, says Arachayim, you can't apply that to Avraham himself, because Avraham was promised. If Avraham was promised, there's nothing else that you need. Okay, so take what the Torah seems to be applying by Avraham, and you know it didn't happen by Abraham, but it can happen by someone else. Meaning that which the psukim imply, that which the smichus implies, that praying for something, that Abraham's prayer, that for Avimelech, help for him, although that's not true, but take what the psukim imply, and now apply it in a different case. That's the first answer he gives. Then the second answer that he gives is very interesting, and he says, the two things work together. Hashem promised Sarah. It's the promise that gives Sarah the child. But the means of how it comes about, when it's going to happen, what's going to bring it into reality? What's going to make it happen? What's going to make it actually happen? The answer is Hashem now creates an opportunity for it to actually happen. He gives an opportunity to do a mitzvah that becomes the means for Hashem's promise now to be delivered. Meaning even though Hashem makes a promise, right, the promise has to be delivered. And there has to be a conduit for that deliverance. What's the conduit for that? Hashem gives a mitzvah. And now through the mitzvah becomes the conduit by which Hashem now delivers the promise. So in Avraham's case, what was the conduit to deliver the promise? The conduit was the fact that he davened for Avimelech. Because when you daven for someone, that for something that you need, you get answered. That now, that's true. That's what the psukim imply. What the psukim imply, this concept that's implied by the psukim is true. In Avram's case, it was true in the sense that it became the conduit by which Hashem's promise would be delivered. For other people, it may be the whole merit. But for Avram's case, it became the means, the conduit for the promise to be delivered. So it's true. If you daven for someone, you're going to be answered also. We see that by Abraham, because how did Hashem bring about the realization of his promise? How did he deliver his promise? Through Avram's tefillah. And the fact that it came with that, the fact that Avram was answered with the fact that he davened for Avimelech, you see that it's a means of it happening. It's a means for it to happen. And in Avram's case, it was the means by which for the promise to be delivered. Okay, but it's an interesting idea about the fact that Hashem will fulfill when Hashem wants to fulfill a promise, he'll fulfill it through a mitzvah. He'll make the opportunity for a mitzvah, and through the mitzvah now, that mitzvah will be this merit to bring that promise into reality. Okay, now let's continue. Let's skip a few psukim. Let's go to page 96, top of the page, pasuk tes. Vatera Sarah es ben Hagar Hamitzris. Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian woman, Asher Yolda LaAvram, who had given birth to Avraham, Mitzachek. He was mocking. That's how we'll translate it. Mitzachek, mocking. Okay. Vatera LaAvram, so she said to Avraham, Garei Sha'ama Hazais Vespina, chase out this maidservant and her son, Kula Yirash Benama Hazais, for the maidservant, for this maidservant's son will not inherit im b'niyim Yitzchak, with my son, with Yitzchak. So let's see how Rashi explains this. What does it mean that Yishmael was mitzachik? He was mocking. So Rashi basically tells us he was committing the three cardinal sins. Idol worship, you find the word tzachik related to idol worship. You find the word tzachik relating to immorality, gilui arayis. And you find it in regard to murder. Cool. So, murder. Ritzicha. Cool. So, and when Yishmael is being mitzachek, Rashi says, this is based on Medrash, that Yishmael was practicing the three cardinal sins. Okay? So what does she do? She turns to Avraham, and she says, send out this maidservant, because her son will not inherit with my son. What are we talking about inheritance for? Why was when Sarah is saying get rid of Yishmael? Why is she talking about inheriting? What's an inheritance got to do with? Why is inheritance being brought in? So Rashi says that what you see from here is that Yishmael and Yitzchak were already fighting over the inheritance. Yishmael was saying, you know, the Torah tells us, but this was a practice even before the Torah was given. The firstborn gets the firstborn son gets a double portion with inheritance. So Shmuel says, I'm the elder son. I get the double portion. And Yitzchak says, no, you don't. Basically, you know, you're the son of a maidservant. You don't get the double portion. So this was what was going on. There was inheritance talk already going on in the house. So Sarah says to Abraham, look, he doesn't deserve inheritance. He doesn't deserve it. As the way Rashi brings down it is, right? They would basically, Rashi is like this. They were Yishmael would call Yitzchak over the inheritance. And when they go out to the field, he'd kind of like shoot arrows at him. Does it mean he really tried to kill him? He was being negligent. You know, he was being reckless. But when she saw that, she says to Avram, right? Imbini im Yitzchak, mikaven shehu bini afilam enay hagun ki Yitzchak, I hagun ki Yitzchak afilam bini ein ze kadai liyarish imay. This guy should not be inheriting but my son. Based on his behavior, based on what he's doing, he doesn't deserve anything. But Rashi says that Sarah brought up the inheritance because basically, at least the way the second Rashi brings down, it was the second, it's interesting, the first Rashi talks about she sees him doing three things. The second Rashi talks about the inheritance and shooting arrows at him, which is Ritzicha. What happened to the other two things, I'm not sure. But the point that Rashi says is that she mentioned Yerusha inheritance because Yishmael and Yitzchak were arguing over it. Because they were arguing over it, Yishmael was like, you know, shooting arrows at him, being very reckless around him. And she says, you know, Im b'niyam Yitzchak, she says, with my son, with Yitzchak. The reason she spoke the way he says Rashi is because she was saying, my son, whether he's a Yitzchak, or Yitzchak, whether he's my son, that should not lose any of the inheritance to a guy like this. Based on his behavior, like a guy like this, he doesn't deserve the inheritance.
Well, it's true, the Torah has not been given yet, but we believe that these people knew Halacha pretty well. So why should she even bring up his behavior if there's a Halacha who gets inherited and how?
Okay. So are you asking a question if Yishmael gets it, what's the point? If Yishmael is deserving it, what's chasing him out going to do?
Well, he is not deserving it, therefore by halacha he is not getting it, therefore...
Well, what do you mean by halacha he's not getting it?
Well, I assume because that's what Isaac, you told us a minute ago, told him that because you're the son of a slave woman, you don't get the inheritance.
Okay. So you're saying based on that, that should have been her reasoning.
Yeah, she should not have worried about it.
There are answers to that. There's discussion about that. First of all, according to many commentaries, when Hagar married Abraham, she was freed.
She was what?
Freed. She was no more a maidservant.
Oh, I see.
She was a Jewish.
No, so maybe that's not relevant. The point is, so the question really becomes, well, what did Yitzchak mean if he was freed? So again, what does it mean? You have to know. There's a lot to discuss here. Your point is a good question. I don't mean to push it up. There's a lot to discuss here.
Okay.
But what I want to do right now is kind of lay out some of the approaches here to what exactly Sarah was. What was Sarah concerned about, and what was she trying to do? So Rashi says that she saw his behavior. She saw them fighting over the inheritance, which was creating the problem. And therefore she says, this guy, based on his behavior, whether it be for all three sins or because he's shooting arrows around Yitzchak's head, right? This is not a person, ain't a kedai. The word in Russia, he's not worthy. It doesn't sound like he for sure shouldn't get it. It almost sounds like Sarah was saying, you know what? He has a point. He has the right to inherit something. But I'm telling you, from his behavior, he's not worthy of having an inheritance with my son, or even if Yitzchak wouldn't be my son, with someone as great as Yitzchak. So, how does exactly unworthiness do this? I'm not going to get into that right now. I mean, my understanding would be that, again, you know, at least according to some Mefarshim, yeah, they kept the Torah, but they also didn't keep the Torah, right? Yaakov married two sisters when he felt he needed to, right? So there was, they kept the Torah, and he didn't keep the Torah when the situation called for not keeping the Torah. Okay, so at this point in time, Sarah says, get rid of him, get him out of here.
How many years difference?
Between who?
Ishmael and Yitzchak.
Almost 13 years or more. Because Yitzchak was born after the Bris. After Abraham had the Bris. A year after, so Ishmael is almost 14 years older.
Abraham was 100.
Yeah, but Abraham was 86 when he had a Bris. And Yishmael was 13, right? This is a year after the Bris. Yitzchak is born. So you're talking about a 14-year difference between the two of them. So that may be one approach over here, just to give more understanding to it. But the point, yeah. And
I always assume that the inheritance they're talking here is in the spiritual
level,
and it's not something material they're talking about.
So. Okay, 1 second. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi, if you learn Rashi, we learn Rashi's talking about the actual inheritance. And she's already saying, now, at this point of time, get him out of here. Now, we're not going to, you know, we're not going to wait till you, let's not wait till you die, right? And let's not wait till he kills Yitzchak either, right? We got to get him out of here. He has to get out right now. You know, he's looking for the inheritance. He's acting out because of the inheritance. He's got to be out. The Kli Yakar asks, okay, so what are you going to do here? You're going to send Yishmael out. Now, we actually all know that it's not like Avraham didn't keep in touch with Yishmael. He did keep in touch with Yishmael. Yishmael wasn't allowed to live with Avraham, but Yishmael and Avraham were still in touch a lot. By the Akedah, there were two lads. There were two people who came along. Shnei Na'arim, it says. Who were the two young people who came along? Eliezer and Yishmael. So Avraham and Yishmael still kept in touch with each other. So that's my addition to what the Kli Yakar says. But the Kli Yakar says, all right, so you send out Yishmael, Avraham dies, and Yishmael comes back and says, hello, I'm a son. I'm the firstborn son. What are you accomplishing by chasing him out? That's the Kli Yakar's question. Because of that, the Kli Yakar says Alex's explanation. The discussion here is not a discussion about the physical inheritance. And the issue here in Sarah's mind is not about saving the inheritance from Yishmael. But rather, as the Kli Yakar says, the inheritance we're talking about here is the spiritual inheritance. And the issue that Sarah has here with Yishmael is the influence that he'll have on Yitzchak. After she sees how Yishmael is behaving, and it's coming out, she's concerned about Yitzchak's being influenced by Yishmael. So she wants Yishmael out because he's going to influence Yitzchak. Says the Kli Yakar, but wait a minute, maybe it'll be the other way. Maybe Yitzchak will be influenced by Yishmael. And maybe Yitzchak will turn around Yishmael. I mean, after all, this is Avraham Avinu's house. It's Avraham Avinu's house. You have Yitzchak. Maybe you're concerned about Yishmael influencing Yitzchak negatively. Maybe Yitzchak will influence Yishmael positively. Said Sarah to that, no, that's not going to work. Because of the fact, let me just read it to you here. Okay. Kirasa Sarah es ben Hagar ha-mitzris ashayod Avraham l'tzachik begili harayas. He follows what was the problem here with Yishmael, what problematic behavior was he displaying? Immorality. And he says, where did Yishmael get that from? He got them from his Egyptian mother. Egyptians, we know, the ancient Egyptians were considered very immoral people. And the Kli Yakar says, and that immorality of the Egyptians gets passed down from one generation to the other. We spoke about last week of Chai Velezhiner with the traits of the tzaddik. The Kli Yakar has an approach here in Parshas Chayasara that, you know, if you have a bad trait, it gets passed down to your children. The Egyptians have, it's part of their nature. Part of their nature is that they are immoral. Mitzrayim is considered Erebus Aris, the most immoral of all lands. It's part of who they are. And that says the Kli Yakar gets passed on to their children. So, as the Pasuk says, Sarah sees Ben Hagar HaMitzris, right? The son of Hagar, the Egyptian woman. Doesn't say Yishmael, she saw Yishmael. He's described as the son of Hagar the Egyptian. Why? Because the whole issue of Yishmael's mitzachek, his behavior, his immoral behavior, was because he was the son of the Egyptian woman. He became lustful because he inherited that from his mother, from the nature of his Egyptian mother. Okay, now so Sarah doesn't want Yitzchak around that, because Yitzchak could be influenced. You'll say Yitzchak will maybe turn Yishmael around. Alzeh Amra Yadati b'nevua kilo yiresh im b'ni mimais Avraham atayvim. You know what it means when she says he will not inherit with my son? It means I can tell you, right? That at the end of the day he will, that this Alzeh Amra Yadati b'nevua, I know through prophecy, kilo yiresh im b'ni mimais Avraham atayvim. he will not be inheriting with my son. What do you inherit from Avram? What is my son from Avram? Good qualities. And now, well, you'll tell me, Yishmael also then. He also should be inheriting good qualities. And with Yitzchak's help, those good qualities will come out. And it'll overcome the bad qualities. Says the Kli Yakar, she said, I know he will not inherit. Which means to say, I know that Yishmael is not taking on the qualities, the good qualities of Avram. He doesn't have that kind of potential in him. And therefore, the issue of turning him around is not a good idea, is not in the plans, because he's got the negative traits from his mother. I know that he did not inherit the positive traits of his father, and therefore he is negative, and that negativity could influence Yitzchak, and therefore she said out. So that's your explanation, that the inheritance here is inheritance of in a spiritual sense, and in a very present spiritual sense. The Yirash, he does not inherit, means to say that he does not inherit the positive qualities of Avraham, to say that through that he'll be able to overcome the negative qualities that inherited from his mother.
Did Yishmael know when he was going Eliezer what was going to happen? He must have been
by what?
About the Akedah?
No, they both didn't know.
They had no idea.
The simple explanation, they didn't know. They took them along and they said, wait, here we're going. That's all. But what we have right now is, we have Rashi's approach is that Sarah is trying to say, get him out of here. He should not inherit. He's not worthy of inheriting. The Kli Yakar is saying, get him out of here because he's going to be an influence on Yitzchak. And don't think Yitzchak may be able to have a good influence on him because he doesn't have the positive qualities of Avraham. A third approach here is an approach of the Sfornu. How the Sfornu says, what did she see? So the Pasuk says, let's just read it again. Pasuk Tes. Vateresores ben Hagar ha-mitzris ha-shirol de l'Avraham mitzachek. She saw that the son of Hagar the Egyptian, that who had given birth to Avraham, mitzachek, he was mocking. Mocking. What's he mocking? Says the Sfornu. You know what he was mocking? He was mocking the fact, he was passing on a line, or he started a line on his own. If you recall from the past, and Pashas told us, it says, Eila told us Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham Hailidus Yitzchak. The Torah stresses, Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak. Rashi says, Yitzchak looked exactly like Avraham. Why? Because the Leitzani Hadar, the mockers, the jokesters, were saying, what? Yitzchak's not Avraham's son. It's Avimelech's son. Because right after she was with Avimelech, that's when she became pregnant. She's not pregnant from the old man Avraham. She's pregnant from Avimelech. Yitzchak's not Avraham's son. It's Avimelech's son. So what did Hashem do? Yitzchak looked exactly like Avraham, and there was no question who his father was. However, you still had those jokesters. I mean, why did Yitzchak look like Avraham? Because of the people making that joke. Well, guess who else joined into the joke? Says the Sfornu. Yishmael did. And which says that, and again, this when we find Yishmael being mitzachek, it's right after it talks about that Yitzchak was born, Avraham made this party in Avraham in honor of when Yitzchak was weaned, and then it says she sees Yishmael mitzachek, he's making fun. There seems to be a connection here. There's the party, and then after that, Yishmael is being mitzachek. The answer is, you know where he's being mitzachek? At the party. They make it a party that look at Avraham's son, Yitzchak, and Yishmael says, oh yeah, that's the Avraham's son? No, it's not. It's Avimelech's. Now, does the Sfornu mean he meant it serious? He meant it as a joke? Whichever way. At the end of the day, Sarah doesn't like it. And she doesn't like it because she doesn't like it. So she says to Avraham, Goresh ben ha'ama hazais, send this kid out. Ben ha'ama, he's the son of the maidservant. The Sfornu says that again. So she hears Yishmael being mitzachek. And basically, she understands that Yishmael is being mitzachek to say that, you know, I'm the son of Avraham. I'm the son. I'm the son, not Yitzchak. I'm the son.
Only son.
I'm the only son. I'm the son. So she says, get rid of the mother and the son. Why the mother? What did the mother do? The answer is, because where did Hagar pick, where did Yishmael pick this line up from? Where did he pick it up from? Pick it up from his mother. Because as the Gemara says, if you hear a child saying something, where do you think he picked it up from? Picked it up from his parents. Maybe I told the story before, but every time I come to this Gemara, I got to tell this story. This is years back when I was still at home, and Elizabeth, and I was still home, and there was someone that my parents knew that, you know, the wife died of cancer, and 6 months later, her husband remarried. Okay. So I'm by a neighbor's house, and there's these, and the little kids are there, and one of the little kids, I don't know how the discussion came up, but he goes, can you believe it, Mr. So-and-so? It's only been 6 months after his wife died and he got married again. A little kid. A little kid said this. I was like, I said to myself, that's the Gemara. That's the Gemara. Shusa de Yanuka, Adaba de Ima. If you hear a little kid saying something, you know where it's coming from. So therefore, she went ahead and said, Garesh Ha'ama, you got to get rid of her and Yishmael. Because she's the cause of it. She's the one that planted it in him. But the Sephardu says, get rid of him because he doesn't deserve the inheritance. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he's the son of a maidservant. That's the approach of the Sephardu. We're not going to get into that. But the Mitzachek, what Yishmael, according to this, is doing, right? He's not according to the Sephardu. We're not talking about big sins here. We're talking about a really bad attitude and a really bad form of behavior, where he's going ahead and he is mocking, he's making this joke, walking around telling everyone, whether he means it as a joke or he means it as in a serious way, right? This is not, Yitzchak is not Avraham's son. So therefore, what happens? She goes and it says to Avraham, get rid of him, because he's making fun at the party, and, right, right, she's telling him these things. She's telling him this thing about that this is not, that Yitzchak's not really, is not, what? Why is she saying it? Why is she saying Yitzchak's not the real child? Because she wants her son to be the heir. She wants her son to get an inheritance. So therefore, get rid of him. Get rid of him. Because it's that, because he really doesn't deserve to get it. He doesn't deserve to get it. Okay. The Rabbi Shulam Diskin, he followed the same approach as the Sephardu. That again, what's Misachek mocking mean? Yishmael is walking around and he's saying this line that Yitzchak is not the son of Avraham. And on that, she said, excuse me?
He's not the son of Avraham.
Right, he's not the son of Avraham. I'm the son of Avraham and Yitzchak is the son of Avimelech. And because of that, she says, chase him out so he doesn't inherit. So Reb Shulam Diskin says, what's the point about inheritance? Because he says that eventually, because he's making this joke, eventually there's going to come a point of time when Avraham dies that he's going to get up and really make a fuss about this. Mm-hmm. Right now, you know, he's mitzache. He's walking around to people and he's telling people this line is really son of Avimelech, it's not really Avraham's son. So ignore it. Ignore it. What's the big deal? Ignore it. The answer is you can't ignore it. Because one day is going to come a point of time where he will get up. Right. When Avraham dies, right, then he's going to come back and say, you remember how I was saying that Yitzchak is not the real son? He's not the real son. And he's going to try to take it over. And therefore she says, let's get him out early. Let's not wait for that. Let's get him out right away. We know this is what he's doing. Get him out right away. If this is what he's doing, this is his plan. And it's gonna make a big problems when you pass on. I heard another explanation that again relates to this approach, but the approach was like this: that as many of the Mefarshim point out, this idea that Yitzchak was Avimelech's son was the Rashi calls these people in Parshas Tzaddik late Sunei Hadar, the jokesters. So the basic idea asks, jokesters? They should be called Rishoyim. They're wicked. They're evil. That's a disgusting thing to say. That's a terrible thing to say. To get up and say, this is not Avraham's son, it's Avimelech's son. Terrible thing to say. Late Sunny? Joke? Says the Beis HaLevi. It was a joke. But it was a joke. It was a joke that was going around. And when jokes go around for a while, they start being believed. Okay? So the way I heard this explanation, I can't remember who it was from, but I heard an explanation. Okay, so, as a supporter actually says, you know, Yishmael's joining in on the joke. He's joining in on the joke. Now, here is this party was made, right? People gather around. He makes the joke. Anybody, like, telling him, stop that? Anybody, when he does this, anybody getting up and saying to him, that's not true?
Well, he had a high position in court, so I guess not.
Maybe, yeah, maybe not. You know, it's not like, no, that doesn't mean they couldn't tell him, like, why are you talking like that? I can't even remember who says it, but the way they say it is that the problem is, you know, the party's going on, Yishmael's at the party, he's making the joke, right? And no one's saying anything about it. It's like, all right, you know, say what you want. You know, like, whatever. But if nobody actually ever gets up and says something about it, one day he will turn around and say, you know, when I used to say this, no one ever counted me. No one ever fought with me about it. No one ever said I was wrong. Just a little bit of another twist to it. But this is the approach of the Sefornu and others, that the Mitzachek is that Yishmael is joining in on this joke, on this line that Avimelech is the father of Yitzchak. That was the problem, and that is what Sarah was chasing him out for.
So I see a slight difficulty with this last explanation, because the text didn't say should not inherit instead of my son Isaac. It says with. So the last explanation is based on the fact that Sarah was worried that after all Abraham died.
This last explanation?
Yeah.
Well, according to this last explanation,
right? So the concern there is that Ishmael will stand up and say, "I'm the real son. Yitzchak is not, therefore it's all mine."
Right.
So that's what I'm saying, but the text doesn't.
Because what does it mean? Because how do you read a text when it says, "Goreshes, chase him out, because he will not inherit with my son."
Right. With, at least according to a previous time, you explained that it's sort of.
Wait. But according to this explanation, you can say when he says he will not inherit with my son, means instead of inheriting with my son, he'll try to take everything away.
Oh, the negation is there. I see.
Now the question is, maybe according to the Sefornu, that the Sefornu says that she says he's and Rashi that he doesn't deserve anything, right? That's what he's saying. You know, it's possible that he should get something. According to the explanation, it's possible he should get something. But I'm saying no, he will not inherit with my son.
That's okay. That is a different way of looking at the sentence.
He said he did idol worshiping.
According to Rashi.
And murder. Who did he murder? Doesn't say?
Doesn't say. The murder seems to be the fact that he was at least reckless around Yitzchak. He was not being careful. Either it means he really was. Either it means that he was. Either it means he was really trying to kill him, okay. Or it means that he was being very reckless around him and not being careful. Not to possibly murder him.
Neither is good.
Right. Okay. Good night.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Family dynamic.